Appreciate that. What a blessing. Thank you, men. And what a great truth that is. Amen. A mansion? Boy, I'll tell you what, that's exciting. That ought to make you smile today, honestly, if you're saved. If you're not, you ought to get saved. Amen. You say, well, how can you be excited about it? Because I'm telling you, that's because of Jesus dying on the cross for us. We have a mansion. Amen. So thank you so much. That's good. Well, this passage of Scripture is good, too. It talks about some wonderful truths that I want to talk about not only this morning but also tonight. Another one of those two parters, they kind of go together. And it says Matthew, it says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And that doesn't mean we cross out all the law or everything and just, well, now we only have two commandments. He goes on then in Romans and he says this. He says, therefore, verse 10, Romans 13, 10, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Now again, don't think this is going to be so deep that you can't follow it. You know, a lot of times, well, you start talking about that law and everything. Honestly, it is exactly what it says. Love is the fulfilling of the law. How can I keep the law? Well, it involves love. There is no question about that. Love is the fulfilling of the law. And that is the title of the message this morning. And again, this is part one. Love is the fulfilling of the law. Back in Matthew, Jesus said, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. Well, what are those commandments? Well, one, thou shalt love. There's our word love. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. All right, and then that's the first one it says in verse 38. Then verse 39 says, the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And he says, on those two. Okay, so all the law, all the thou shalt nots, all of the law and everything, he says, on these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And then he says in Romans, the Bible says, therefore love is the fulfilling of the law. Father, I pray that you'll bless the preaching. I thank you that for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. We thank you and thank you and thank you. We cannot thank you enough that you loved us and you sent your Son to die on the cross to pay for our sins. Help us never to forget that. Help us never, never, never to forget that love. And the only way we can love is you said that we love because you first loved us. And I pray that you'll help us to realize that, as you said so clearly, love is the fulfilling of the law. Speak to our hearts today. Give us what we need, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, as I mentioned earlier, on the table out there are several amendments to the church constitution. These are all recommended by Christian Law Association, have been for a little while, some of them. And they are additions to the statement of faith. And some of it, there are additions by word. Some of them are whole statements and different things like that. But everything is supported by Scripture. And we've gone over these and over these. And again, just being presented for vote at the business meeting. But the whole thing is, if everything is supported by Scripture, therefore we believe it. And some of these things are stated other ways in other places and that. But we want it in the statement of faith, because we believe it. And we are living in a day where folks are suing churches left and right. It's amazing how it's happening. And there's all kinds of things going on that involve churches and attacks on churches and all that. And I believe we need to be prepared, and we are trying to be prepared for just anything and everything while we continue to serve God. And so that's really kind of what this message is all about, and tonight's message, because so many of these really involve this four-letter word, love. And you say, well, you know, we're fighting fundamentalists. Oh, believe me, I understand that. You know, I'm not going to be a sissy. I hear these kind of things all the time. You know, I'm not going to be a sissy. You know, that is such a non-intelligent mentality. You know, it is so silly. We get in our minds that, you know, well, I'm going to fight them and I'm going to fight them. And do you understand that isn't why God left us here? We need to, hello? Amen.
Well, I'm having a hard time. I don't want you to compromise. Well, I'm the
opposite of compromising. But since when did we remove the word love from our vocabulary? I mean, honestly, since when? I mean, we, of all people, for God so loved the world. How do we forget that? How do we forget that God is love? How do we forget, as next Sunday is Palm Sunday, the Lord Jesus came to Jerusalem to die on a cross? How do we forget that is love? That is the greatest love. How do we forget Calvary's love? How do we forget that Jesus is beaten with a cat of nine tails, his body is ripped apart, and he's nailed to a cross? How do we forget? That's all about love. It is completely about the love of God. And the resurrection is all about God loving us. Up from the grave, he arose so that we too can live. Amen. He's coming again. It's all about love. And we somehow, it seems like because of the battle, and you'll notice as you think about those amendments and some of the wording, you know, we are in a battle. There is no question about that. But never one time are we told by God to forget about love. In fact, we're told the very opposite of that. And I want to show you clearly, love is the fulfilling of the law. It is very, very clear in Scripture. You say, well, you know, I'm still gonna have my guns at home. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about that at all. I am talking completely about what the Bible says our obligation is, and it is to love. It is to love. And I'm not talking about L-U-V either, you know, love. I'm talking about God's love. I'm talking about what the Bible says. He says here that love is the fulfilling of the law in Romans 13. So we know that love, there's one thing right there. So you take all the law, all the commandments, the thou shalt and the thou shalt not. You can put any of them in there. Love is the fulfilling of those things. No question about that. Love is. And I'm not talking about sissy stuff. Some of you are looking at me funny. I'm not talking about, those kinds of things. I'm just saying that that's what my Bible says. And in our passage in verse 40, we are given very clearly that there are two commandments given. And where those commandments are, both of those are about love. One is love God. Two is love your neighbor. You say, I want to wrestle my neighbor if they keep doing that. Well, listen to me. I'm just reading what the Bible says. You say, yeah, but my neighbor believes a certain... Okay, well, that's all fine and dandy. But God says, here's how to fulfill the law right here. Love. Love God with all your heart. Love your neighbor as yourself. I know we don't like that. We want to fight, don't we? Hello. Listen to me. Nowhere is it more clear than in our Scripture that we believe that we're supposed to love. Amen? And that love is the fulfilling of the law. Number one, love God. Number two, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, what's all that mean? And all this is introduction. I'm going to give you just 2 points this morning and then 2 points tonight. But what's all that mean? Well, first of all, love God. Well, if you love God, that means you're not going to offend God. You'll never offend God. Jesus said this, if you love me, keep my commandments. So if I'm going to love God, if I really love God, that means I will never offend God. You say, well, I think we're all in trouble. Yeah, I think we are. But just remember that, all right? If you love God, you'll never offend God. Jesus again, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now watch this. If you love your neighbor, you'll never offend your neighbor. Oh, you say, well, I'm in big trouble. Look, go back to Romans 13. Romans 13. I know, you know, well, bless God, I'm a fighting fundamentalist. And you know what? I'm ready to take my stand. And I take my stand. But I'm going to tell you something. If you X love out of taking your stand, you're going to be fighting a spiritual battle with your flesh. Amen. And we are not supposed to fight in our flesh, we are supposed to fight with our spirit.
And our God is a loving God, and our God is love. Romans 13 and verse 9, look what it says. For this, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And if there be any other commandment, it is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. All of these things in verse 9, adultery, killing, stealing, all those things, you're offending your neighbor. If you kill my wife, you've offended me. All right? If you steal from Brother Tim, you offend him. I mean, that is again, he says this. He says, so it's all rolled up into one here. He says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And then he says, therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So if I love God, I won't offend God. If I love my neighbor, I won't offend my neighbor. Amen. That's what he said. See, this wasn't so hard after all. You say, great, we're done. Well, we're not done yet. But love is the fulfilling of the law. In all the law, things affect God, things affect the neighbor. And if I really love, I'll never offend God, and I'll never offend my neighbor. If I'm really loving, you say, well, I think I offend my neighbor pretty much every day. And and if you think you offend your neighbor pretty much every day, you probably have offended God a few times during the day as well, right? Love. Love. And so this morning and tonight, I want to talk to you about, number one, love and mercy. Number two, love and ministry. Number three, love and marriage. And number four, love and mankind. And I believe, honestly, I think this is a message that is due and needed. Number one, love and mercy. Please don't doze off right now, all right? I'm serious. You need to get this because love and mercy is so important. Turn to 1 Timothy 1, a passage I don't know that I've ever preached out of, but in studying this, I ran across, certainly I've used some of these verses. 1 Timothy chapter 1, and we'll start at verse 5. And again, what a great, great passage with what we're talking about here, and a great passage to explain love and mercy. It's so important. 1 Timothy 1, verse 5. Now, the end of the commandment. What are we talking? We're talking about the law. The end of the commandment. That's what it says here. The end of the commandment is what? Charity. Charity is another word for love. Charity out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned. That means not fake. Amen. So he says the end of the commandment is love or charity out of a pure heart and a good conscience and faith unfeigned that is not fake. It's real faith, all right? And all of that started with what? It started with love. And charity out of a pure, a righteous heart, okay? It says this is the end of the commandment. This is the end of the law. The end is the result. So the result of the law, stay with me now. All those thou shalt and thou shalt nots and everything else, the result of all of that, the law leads us to a love out of a pure or a righteous heart. Why? Because I've done right. I've done right. I've done right. I've done what I'm supposed to do. If I've kept the law, I've done right before my God. And I have a pure heart. I can sleep at night. Amen. When you can really sleep at night, it's when you don't have to. You're not worried about anything. I've not offended God. How about this? I've not offended my neighbor. Amen. I mean, I have a pure heart, and that is the result of the law. If I've kept the law and I've done what I'm supposed to do, what's it say also? It says, and of a good conscience, right? You don't feel guilty. You don't feel guilty before God. You don't feel guilty before man, because what have you done? You've done what the Bible says. And so you have a good conscience. And by the way, you also have a real faith. You don't have to fake it. You don't have to fake when you say, praise the Lord. You don't have to fake it when you say, hallelujah. You don't have to fake it when you say, you know what, I love God. It's real. Why? Because you've loved. And you love God enough to obey Him. And you loved your neighbor enough to respect Him and to not offend Him. And so, wow, I mean, that's pretty good, isn't it? Well, you know, it goes on and it says, and we're going to skip verses 6 and 7. We'll come back to them later. But verse 8 says, but we know that the law is good if a man use it lawfully, right?
So let me give you some statements here. And it's all out of this passage, and it's all going to come together here in just a second. First of all, here's a statement under love and mercy. The law is perfect. Look, if you will, Psalm 19, verse 7. The law, God's law, is perfect. Psalm 19 and verse 7. Again, we give out Bibles. We encourage people to read their Bibles. We encourage our young people to memorize and all of us to memorize the Word of God. Why? Because Psalm 19, verse 7, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. It is perfect. There's no flaw in the law. Amen? It is perfect. God gave us the law. All the thou shalt's, all the thou shalt not's. You say, yeah, but preacher, you don't understand. I just can't keep it. Okay, well, we're going to get to that in just a minute. But just realize, it is perfect. Okay, you've been watching the basketball, you know, the college basketball. And you say, you know, I don't like that rule. And there was one thing, you know, there was a goaltending call. And they, you know, several people got on there and, yeah, you know, I don't like that rule. Well, you may not like it, but that's a rule. Okay, you know, I'll be honest with you. When I played basketball, there were a lot of rules I didn't like. Like, I didn't like it when they called a foul on me because I like to foul people. Sometimes it was the only way I could stop them, right? But that was the rule, and the rule is the rule. So, again, the law of God is perfect. It does no good for us to try to question, well, why did God say that? And why did God say that? That is not the issue. It's perfect. Very clear. Bible says that, all right? The law is perfect. But then it goes on, and it says that the law, my second statement is, the law is good. It says in verse 8, back to 1 Timothy 1, it says, if we know the law is good, if a man use it lawfully. So it is good if you use it good, right? It is right if you use it rightly. It's good. The law is good. All that thou shalt, all that thou shalt not, they're good. Now, again, we could look at laws that man makes and you know, the speed limit ought to be faster, or it ought to be slower, or it ought to not be, or whatever. You know, we'll argue that all the time. But somebody, somewhere along the line said, hey, we need to make it 35 mile an hour here. We need to make it 55 mile an hour out there. We need to make it 65 mile. Somebody came along and said, that would be good. And by the way, it is good as long as somebody's doing it. The only time it becomes bad is when you violate it. Then it's, ooh, yeah. Well, so we have to say the law's good. Are you all with me? Amen. All right, nod like you're alive out there. All right, good, good. So the law's perfect, the law's good. If it's used lawfully, the Bible says. But here's the deal. And this is so clear in 1 Timothy chapter 1. Look at verse 9. Knowing this, that the law is not made for a righteous man. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. Now listen, you've read that before and you just didn't think about it, didn't understand. Let me help you understand something here. And that's my third statement under here. Number one, the law is perfect. Number two, the law is good. But number three, or capital C, the law is not made for righteous people. It's not made for righteous people. Huh? That doesn't make sense. That's what it says, though. The law is not made for a righteous man. Okay, let me explain that to you. If no one ever stole anything, you would not need a law that says thou shalt not steal. Right? Are you with me? Okay, so let me say that again, all right? If no one ever stole anything, let's say nobody has ever stolen anything, we don't need a law that says thou shalt not steal. Okay, so a person who is righteous, a person who does right, the law is not for them. Are you all with me? If no one ever goes over 55 miles an hour, ever, nobody, you say, well, I'd have to get off the road. Anyway, if no one ever does that, we don't need speed limit. We don't need signs. We don't even need a law that says that that's speed limit. Hello? That's all God's saying. God's just saying this. He said, the law is not for the righteous. You say, well, I've read the thou shalt and the thou shalt nots, and I'm involved in a lot of them. And that should tell you what about yourself? That you're not righteous, right? Smile, it's okay. Because you know what? There's not one of us who is. Well, wait a minute. If the law is not made for the righteous, then who's it made for? I am so glad you asked. It says for the lawless and the disobedient. Here's the deal. If I never offend God or man, then there's no law needed. If I always do exactly what God wants me to do, and if I always do exactly what I'm supposed to do with people, then there's no law needed. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't qualify there. Maybe you do, but I don't think you do. That's all the Bible's saying here. It says there's no law. The law is not made for a righteous man, but for the lawless and disobedient. Now watch what it says. For the ungodly and for sinners, for unholy and profane. And then it goes on into a list here. Now listen, if no one went over the speed limit, there's no speed limit needed. Nope, they're, listen, you say, yeah, but I don't. I never go over, but you're not the only driver out there. And if it's not speed limit, it's going to be something else that we're going to violate, and that's why we have laws, okay? If, remember this, if to love God is to not offend God. To love my neighbor as myself is to not offend my neighbor. And if I could live that life, where I never offend God and I never offend my neighbor, if I could live that life, then I wouldn't need the law. I would never have to have a sign posted that says, you have offended God. I would never have to have a sign posted that said, you have offended your neighbor, if I never offend them. Are you all with me? This is really so simple, and yet I'm afraid I'm losing you, and I want you to get this. If nobody ever stole anything, there wouldn't have to be a law that says you can't steal. Never. If we don't steal anything. All right? And so this is so simple. And that's the fourth thing here. So if our statements are true, and let me just read them again. First of all, the law is perfect. God's law is perfect. The law is good as long as it's used lawfully. It's good. The third thing, or capital C, the law is not made for the righteous. Capital D, the law is for breakers of the law. That's who it's for. The lawless and the disobedient. Are you listening? Okay, that's who it's for. The law is for those who break the law. What's that tell me? Immediately, I'm going to be real honest with you, folks. It's for me. Okay, I'm just going to be honest with you. It is for me. The law is for me. When I was a teenager and I was growing up, I didn't go to church. I really didn't know all the law, but somehow I did know that you shouldn't lie, you shouldn't steal, you shouldn't cheat. There were many things, but I didn't know that the Bible said that necessarily. But when I went to church and I heard preaching, I realized this was what God said, and I realized I broke God's law. And therefore, the law showed me that I was guilty. Are you with me? The law proved to me that I was guilty. The law made it very, very clear to me as I saw the Word of God that I had violated. I had not loved God like I was supposed to, and I had not loved my neighbor like I was supposed to, and therefore the law condemned me. Wow, and it was very, very obvious, and it should be very humbling. You say, boy, it's a terrible thing to realize, isn't it? It is a terrible thing to realize, but it's sure a wonderful thing to know that there's a way out. And I'm glad I found out that I broke the law. I'm glad I found out that I was guilty. I am so glad that I learned and that I was able to find out that I was guilty of breaking the law. Because whether I admitted it or not, I'm still guilty. Right? And so the law is for breakers of the law. For the lawless, it says, and the disobedient. And then you have this list. And go back to 1 Timothy 1 and look at this list. I mean, this is quite the list here. Unholy and profane, murderers of fathers and murderers of mothers, for manslayers. I mean, this is bad, you know. For whoremongers, for them that defile themselves with mankind, for men stealers, for liars, for perjured persons. And if there be any other thing that is contrary to sound doctrine, wow, that kind of wraps things up, doesn't it? Now, please, whatever you do, don't miss it. This in this list right here, it's just given a list of different things we've done. I mean, this is us, but you'll notice here in this list and in other lists, but it says here, it uses the terminology in verse 10, for them that defile themselves with mankind. And if you study that out, you find out that word is arsenokoites, which refers to homosexuality. Yeah, it's right in there. But don't miss this, okay? Because it also used a term called unholy. Are you always holy? It also uses a term called sinners. It does? Yeah. Yeah, look back at verse 9. I have them underlined in my Bible. Ungodly, sinners, unholy. Oh, man. Yeah. Yeah. And then whoremongers. You know, that's sexual sin. There it is, right there. And then it uses liars. You ever lie? That's one we always ask the kids, you know. They'll say, I don't sin. You know, and they'll look at you so serious. Have you ever told a lie? You know, right? You say, well, preacher, I don't think liars ought to be included with murderers and homosexuality. And that's our problem, because we want to rate sin. Because that's our nature, because we want to make ourselves come out looking pretty good. You have to start with, you don't look so hot. I have to start, I don't look so hot. We have to all start with, we don't look so hot. Are you listening? That's where we have to start. You're never going to understand love until you understand we don't look so hot. Well, the law, God said in there that all these things are sin. Now, we're dealing with the sin of homosexuality, transgender, all that kind of stuff. We're dealing with that stuff today. And it is a major, major issue. But I got some news for you, folks. We could be dealing with lying. Amen. We could be dealing with a bad attitude. We could be dealing with folks that are discouraged, which is a sin for a Christian. Don't get lost in the battle where you start hating people. We nowhere are we told to hate people. And so in our list here, you know, immediately, I guarantee there's somebody, oh, you know, I found a word, that'll work. We don't have to find anything. I'm going to prove that tonight. Honestly, we don't have to find things. God makes it very clear who's supposed to be married. Amen. God makes it very clear that when you're born something, it's what you are. And that's God's will. Okay, I don't have to find, well, this verse is tucked away here so I can use it. No, here's what I need to do. I gotta look at me and say, you know what? I have failed in keeping the law. I'm a flop. And the truth of the matter is, every one of us are a flop. Look, the law is for breakers of the law to show us we broke the law, and it did that for me. And it should do that for you. If it hasn't done that for you, then you need to get saved. And you know where it starts? It starts with, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us have broken that law. You said you said an awful lot just to get to that point. Yeah, but I want us to understand, it all comes back to that word love. Because on this, it's very clear. And when we close this thing out in just a few minutes, we're going to end with love is the fulfilling of the law. I want to show you it is. You say, yeah, but you, all you pointed out is we're all flops. We are. But I can tell you this, I'm just as much a flop as somebody that is trying to get their gender changed. It's okay. It's a Baptist church. You're allowed to amen, and it's okay. I'm mad. Well, I listen to me. You need to get unmad and get a walk with Him. Because honestly, we're not going to win any kind of battle by putting on the flesh, ever. But if we can understand, I'm really trying, because I'm going to wind this thing down here, and we're gonna come to a landing in just a few minutes. But understand, This passage right here, it talks about all this list, and then it says contrary to sound doctrine. And again, we just pretty much fall into a guilty category, every one of us. And so in my statements, again, we're talking about love and mercy. In my statements, the law is perfect, the law is good, the law is not made for the righteous, the law is for breakers of the law. I come to capital E, and that is this: I am a breaker of the law, and you are too. We have broken the law. But guess what? We're in very, very good company, because look at verse 13. The Apostle Paul says, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. Now, wait a minute. He blasphemed. That goes against loving God, right? I mean, he blasphemed God and a persecutor. Well, that goes against loving your neighbor as yourself, right? And injurious, that goes against loving your neighbor and loving God. He injured God. He injured his neighbor. I mean, come on, Paul, what are you saying here? He said this. He said, but I obtained mercy. What? Yeah. Oh, thank God for his mercy. Thank God for his mercy. Hey, on these two commandments hang the whole law. All that thou shalt, thou shalt not. Doesn't matter which one you broke. Love God, love your neighbor. It all hangs on that. And Paul says, I confess today, I didn't love God and I didn't love my neighbor, and therefore I'm guilty. You know what? I confess with him the same thing. The same thing. He said, I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief, and ignorance is no excuse for the law. How did he find out he was guilty? The law. Remember, the law is not for the righteous. The law is for the unrighteous. The law is not for the person who does everything perfectly. The law is for the person who fails. Yes, and Paul found out because he read and saw the law. Remember, if you love God, you won't offend God. If you love your neighbor as yourself, you won't offend your neighbor. And if I would have fulfilled those two things, I wouldn't need the law. But I didn't fulfill those two things. And you didn't fulfill those two things. And Paul didn't fulfill those two things. And therefore, the law condemns us. Paul said, but I obtained mercy. Look at Hebrews 7, verse 19. We're winding down here. If you say, yeah, I know you got another point. Yeah, but it's a short one. Glad you're paying attention. Hebrews 7, verse 19. Some of the passages and verses I don't recall ever preaching a message on, maybe making reference to. Hebrews 7 and verse 19 says this: for the law made nothing perfect. Do you see it? The law made nothing perfect, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Oh, by the which we draw nigh unto God. Wait a minute, the law makes nothing perfect. You have people all over the world trying to say, well, if you do this and 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 do this right, you'll have a perfect society. The law can't make anything perfect. You know why? Because we won't do this and do this and do this and do this. Well, but if we all loved God, like it says, and if we all loved our neighbor as ourselves, we could do it. But you can't do it. We fail. We prove it over and over again. We prove it. God has listed it. One, this. And all we can come out of that is saying, and I'm talking about good Christians here, we still have trouble. Amen. And so the law can't make us perfect. Doing good, that doesn't make us perfect. It's not possible. But it does say this. There's hope. It says bringing in of a better hope did. There is a way for being perfect. There really is. Go back to 1 Timothy 1, verse 14. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith, and there's our word, love, which is in Christ Jesus. You see it? Love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. How do you know that, Paul? Because of the law, I broke it.
Well, could you have kept two things? Just two things. Bible says very clearly on these two commandments, Paul said, well, I didn't love God like I should. I offended God. I didn't love my neighbor like I should. I offended my neighbor. Well, I couldn't. And so he says, Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He said, of whom I'm chief. Hey, tonight or today, you don't have to feel like you're the chief sinner. Paul said he was. All right, you're vice chief. Amen. I'll take that position. Okay, you can be lieutenant of sin. All right. Are you all with me here? Okay. I'm trying. It's so clear, so clear. Verse 16, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy. There it is again, mercy. There is not a human being that's ever going to look at God and say, you know what? I deserve to go to heaven. Not one. All that has to happen is those two commandments can be brought out. That's all. We don't have to get a whole bunch of commandments. Just get two out. Just two. We'll do it. Really, have you ever offended God? Well, yeah, you know, I think I did. Have you ever offended your neighbor? Well, you know. Okay. All right. And then you broke the law. The only way, and again, all of that comes together. It says, howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy that in me first, Jesus Christ, might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. And the law is only fulfilled. And the only way the law is going to be fulfilled, because I can't do it and you can't do it. And we have some of the best Christians in this room, I'm telling you, in the whole world. They're right here and they can't do it either. What are we going to do? We're going to fall on our knees and call to God for his mercy, which I did when I was 17 years old. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And he did that with that four-letter word that we're, you know, I'm a fighting. He loved us, period. He loved us. That is the only way that any of us is going to go to heaven. I don't care who you are. Doesn't matter who, what your roots are. Doesn't matter how much you've gone to church, how much your parents went to church. Does not matter. Nobody in this room is going to heaven except that Jesus Christ loved you and died on the cross to pay for your sins. I couldn't love God. I couldn't love my neighbor. And I broke the law, but the love of Christ. That's what Paul's saying here. It's the love of Jesus. On these two things hang all the law, these two commandments. And then he said, love is the fulfillment of the law. But you know what, Brother Tim? It wasn't yours, and it wasn't mine. And my wife's a very loving person, but it wasn't hers, it was his. The fulfillment of the law, the keeping of the law, is Jesus Christ lived a perfect, without sin, did not offend the Father, did not offend the neighbor by sin. No. Lived a perfect life and died on the cross to pay for our sins. And love is the fulfillment of the law. And I love what he says, but I obtained mercy. But don't miss verse 16, please. And this is really what everything kind of comes down to. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering. What is longsuffering, preacher? I'm glad you asked. It's patience with people. That's what it is, long-suffering. Why? Well, when the Bible says that God is long-suffering to usward, it's because he's not willing that any should perish. How much did God put up with before you got saved? I know what he had to put up with me before I got saved. Yeah, how much did he have to put up with? I wonder how much we'd be willing to put up with, folks. We kind of get lost sometimes in our battle. And understand that souls are at stake. Hello?
We get lost in the battle sometimes and we forget. There's no difference. That's what it says in Romans 3. There's no difference. Not between the Jew and the Greek. Not between white and black. Not between our levels of sin. There's no difference. Nobody is saved but for the mercy of God Almighty. Please, please, whatever you do, don't miss this. He says that in me first, Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now that, you know what that, a pattern. What brought me to Christ? And honestly, I'm winding things down right here. I got one more point and we'll be done. Please get this. What brought me to Jesus Christ? The law. It's our schoolmaster, the Bible says. All those thou shalt and thou shalt nots convinced me, showed me, I need a Savior. That's what it was. It was, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I realized that I was a sinner. And by the way, if you're honest, that's how you came to Christ too. You realized that you were a sinner and you deserved to go to hell, but that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin. But it all started with realizing we're sinners. Here's what Paul said. Paul said, I have to keep helping people realize they've broken the law. That means honestly, instead of, we have to take a stand that this book right here is the Word of God and it is the law. We cannot waffle on any of it. We can't just say, well, we'll just change it and make everything okay. That'd be like you going out and removing all the speed limit signs and people getting arrested. Hello? That'd be a terrible thing, wouldn't it? Or how about the bridge out sign? We need to just keep proclaiming this book. That's what Paul said. He said, so I can be a pattern. I can have long suffering toward people and I can show them what was shown to me. What's the world need to know? Well, the world needs to know Jesus loves them, but before that, they need to know that they've broken the law. Now again, I'm not the condemner here. I'm just giving out the law. And so the liar needs to know he's a liar. He needs to know that's sin. The thief needs to know that stealing is wrong. The people involved in sexual sins need to understand those things are wrong. Again, not because I said so, not because I'm pointing at you and saying, hey, I know what you're up to. I don't have to know what they're up to. Just like nobody has to know what anybody's up to, he knows. And the law is still the truth and it's perfect. And we cannot back down from preaching the truth and the Word of God. But we have to use this long-suffering and be patient with people and understand that they need mercy, just like I need mercy. And that brings me to the last thing, and that's number two. And that's, we've seen love and mercy, but number two is love and ministry and how it all goes together. I'm telling you, folks, we get lost sometimes. We get so angry at what people do and what, how in the world, the abortion issue. Okay, it does not, listen, abortion is murder. It is taking an innocent life. Okay, I'm not ashamed to say that. But honestly, wouldn't you like to see one of those doctors get saved? See, some of you struggle with that. Stay with me now. You struggle with that a little bit. You know, why do we struggle with that? Why do we struggle with sinners getting saved? Well, because that's such a heinous sin. But your sin was a heinous sin. And when you got saved, people rejoiced. Well, you know, people, these guys want to become women and they're going to do all this weird stuff and everything. And you know what? I'm not for that because he's not for that. But if one came to an altar and I said, could you pray with, would you? That's what we do. That's what we do. Do you understand how many broken lives come through our doors? Week after, I don't care what, that doesn't matter to me. Honestly, there's not one person in this room that deserve salvation. Not one of us. It's all His mercy. Real quick, Jude 1. Actually, Jude 2 works too, but I'm so close to being done. And if all the people here in the front look intelligent, we'll be out of here soon. You say, we're in trouble. No, we're not. I know that's a little different style this morning, but I really want to cover this issue. To me, it is absolutely essential in our day that we live in, that we do not lose the love of God that saved us. Jude, notice verse 21. Keep yourselves, what's he say? Keep yourselves in the love of God. Looking for what? The mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal. You forgot. Somebody said to me one time, in fact, several have said it over the years of being a pastor, they say, you're always talking about your salvation. I don't want to forget. I don't want to forget my salvation. I don't want to forget the tears that I shed when I called out to Jesus to save my filthy, wicked soul. I don't want to forget when I realized that He had mercy. I don't want to forget that. Why? Because there's a whole world that needs it. There's people after people after. It's not just the homosexuals. It's not just the abortionists. It's not. It's everybody who's lost that needs to know they're lost and on their way to hell. And so God says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And of some, have compassion, making a difference. Why can't our compassion show? Well, it's because I'm just so angry about it. And others, save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. Pulling them out of the fire. That's what we should be doing. But I hate so. You can't. You can hate sin, but we always, always are to love people. Again, I'm talking about love and ministry, and it's why we're here. 2 Thessalonians 3:5 says this, and the Lord direct your hearts into the love of God. Hey, do you understand the early church? This isn't anything new that we're going through, folks, honestly. And it's nothing for us right now. Persecution? Attacks on the church? Oh, you know, fire extinguishers set off in our buses? You know, that's just some prankster. I don't know if it's hate or not. Hate crime, extra 20 years. Huh? I don't know. But it's nothing new, honestly. It's always been that the church, because we take a stand, but we need to take our stand with our hearts directed into the love of God. See, here's what it is, and I'm summing things up. We who broke the law, telling others who broke the law about one whose love fulfills the law. That's what we're doing. That's why we run buses. That's it. That's why we have a shepherd's ministry. It's why we have a Christian school. It's why we have altar calls in our services. It's why we go soul winning. It's why we knock on doors. It's why we go to the fair. And Kathy Morin spends hours and hours and hours and hours and hours. It's we who broke the law. See, that's what we tend to forget. Well, I'm a man and never tried to become a woman. Okay, you ever lie? Hello? You know, did you ever steal anything? I'm just saying it's we who broke the law telling others who broke the law about the one whose love fulfills the law and can make it all right. The one who loved me. And the one who loves me and telling all people that is the only way to be saved and go to heaven. And I'm going to tell you, the only way you and I are going to do this in these times, hey, come on. James was killed with a sword. Peter was locked up. All of them died. All of them suffered. Christian after Christian after Christian. And it's like, you know, the news media of that day totally ignores it like they do today. But understand something, folks. It's all about us telling them telling him, hey, you broke the law. Here's the law. This is what it says. It's true. It's right. Jesus loves you. And he died so you could be saved. You know, we cannot back down on the Word of God. We cannot back down on what we believe. We must make it loud and we must proclaim. Not cocky. Not like we're the only ones that are right. It's just he's right. I thank God to this day for the preaching that caused me to realize I'm a sinner on my way to hell. Thank God for that. Thank God for people that were willing to tell me, hey, you need to get saved. They didn't, you know, they didn't say, well, you're a long-haired freak, or maybe they did. I don't know, but whatever they said, somehow it registered in my mind that I'm guilty before God Almighty, but they told me Jesus died on the cross so I could be saved. Listen to me. We must get it in our hearts, and there's no way we're going to do it without the love of God controlling our hearts and our lives. Folks, honestly, we are in a major battle. There's battles on every front, and I've got fellas that they watch that door. In fact, sometimes Phyllis comes in a little bit late, and I'll watch guys kind of they don't know. You just don't know what's going to happen nowadays. Hello. I know some of you like just bury your head in the sand. Well, go ahead. You might be safe, but you'll get shot somewhere else. But anyway, I'm going to close with 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. I don't want to just keep beating on this thing. We'll finish up tonight. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 8. I hope I've been easily understood today. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 8. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail, for laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you. We preached unto you the gospel of God. Yes, there is a lot of bad news, but there is good news. And that is the gospel. That is what the word means. Good news. Please, let's be in the battle. Let's not waver on the word of God and the law. Let's not, you know, here's my fear. We just make everything okay. Can you imagine going soul winning where everything's okay? You couldn't say to anybody, well, the Bible says we're sinners. No, we're not. Everything's okay. I went to such and such church. They said it was okay. What? Drugs, it's okay. Murder, it's all right. You know, homosexuality, oh, it's okay. Everything's okay. I'm okay, you're okay. Somebody wrote a book called that. And we're okay, right? No, we're not the judge. All we are is, hey, I read this book. It says you're not okay. I'm not okay. None of us are okay. We need Jesus Christ to save our souls. And I'll tell you, if we do that with the love of God, you can't go wrong. It's exactly what he tells us to do. Again, love is the fulfilling of the law. Wasn't my love. I failed. It was his love when he died on the cross. Let's bow our heads, please.